Let's go.
Totally Beverages.
And sometimes hot sauce.
That is a tasty root beer.
Coffee.
Water.
Cerveza.
Mountain Dew.
Beverages.
Beverages.
Beverages hot sauce.
Beverages.
Beverages.
Beverages hot sauce.
Ooh, welcome to Totally Beverages and Sometimes Hot Sauce, the show that was almost called K-Cups with Ro-Ro. I am your host, Psychic Andy. Here, as always, the beautiful blue-eyed Barbadian, JoJo. How are you tonight?
Oh, we are so gallantly streaming.
Oh, wow. I feel like at some point someone, I hope, does a super cut of all of those.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe it'll make sense.
I probably repeated most of them. I've said that one 7 times. Memories are short-lived. Enjoy them while you have them.
Yeah, that's true. It's not funny to
joke
with me.
I'm going to save that one for next
right now.
Thank you.
We have a fantastic show tonight. We're going to be drinking wine spritzers, wine seltzers.
Wine seltzers, according to the
marketing. Some of these. Mr. Snacker's approved decoys. Just look at the can on this. This is just beautiful. You know, I forgot to set up the Bev cam tonight, but this will do. That's beautiful.
Yeah, they are. They're slim and petite and perfect for fitting in the shot around your head.
That's a beautiful thing.
Could really probably do this. I'll try.
So I'm just going to jump into some quick biz.
Let's
before we
biz.
Bring up our amazing guest. All right. We are, a lot of people have been asking, how do we watch the show after it streams on Twitch? They want to see it because they're also listening to the podcast, and then they are like, I got to see it. And sometimes episodes, they disappear on Twitch after 2 weeks, right? So we're dialing in the YouTube page. We just got this off the ground this week. So every episode will be up on YouTube as well. And we're even running a little test tonight. We're even streaming to YouTube as we speak. So that might be something down the line, too, if YouTube's easier to watch or Twitch, we're figuring all that out. But so these episodes will be there. If you're hearing this on the podcast, the episode's already there. If you're streaming right now, it's already there. So that's a new thing. If you look there, you probably can't see that. We only have 37 subscribers on this YouTube page.
That's not enough subscribers.
That's not enough. And to be completely honest, we don't get to have our custom URL until we get 100 subscribers. So just do us a solid and let's just knock that out this week. Just if you could go, you know, smash the bell and then we can tell you to go to T-Bash Live there, because T-Bash Live takes you everywhere in the universe except on YouTube until we get 100 subscribers on there. So do that. And while we're here looking at this, listen, I think this banner is glorious.
Oh, sure. It's classic.
But if you look at this little thumbnail, which some of you might have noticed is our new artwork for the podcast, this is a temporary thing. And we're pleading. We're putting it out there. We're asking the universe. We need some help with some logo action. We need a new podcast logo.
We do. We need to liven it up. I think that's just really it. We've been dealing with the classics for a long time, and the classics have their place, and the classics will remain in certain forms and fashions. But I think for this new cohesive T-Bash Live, we need a new logo.
And yeah, so if you're out there listening right now and you're like, oh, this is what I do, hit us up at T-Bash Live on any of our social media platforms. Reach out, say hello. Maybe you can help us. If you'd even just have some ideas, maybe we should hop on someday, JoJo, just for like a quick stream of just brainstorming what we want. I mean,
sure.
I think I want Mr. Snackers there.
I will live sketch it. If everyone comes to a fun little hang, we could do, I can make some cocktail napkin style rough sketches.
You're known for them. I can't wait. I'm seeing people in the chat have already subscribed to the YouTube, so we appreciate that. That's speedy. We love that. So getting to the vision board, the only thing really we want to add to the vision board this week then is a new logo. So that little guy up there, that just is, that's our placeholder. That's not our new logo. Don't get that twisted.
Yeah, do not.
But we're trying to manifest a new logo.
Last moving week, on the tiki bar.
No.
I just thought I'd give you an update on that.
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry. I feel like I'm just brushing by because I'm so excited to get to our guest today. But, yeah, nothing else is happening. Kate Winslet still seems out of reach. Maybe our guest tonight can help us with that.
This is Dame Ina Garten.
Yeah.
And Sir Ice T.
I do want to put out there, though, our trip to Utah, though, that I do want to, I want to get that done within the year.
Yeah, I think we wait until after the heat of summer, and then perhaps we go.
Fair enough.
I feel ready.
The dreams that have come true so far last week, was it last week that I put the 20,000?
It was.
Tapper points. All right, I have the Tapper fever. I can't stop playing it, and I want others to join in on that. That's all I'm saying. So I'm just putting it out there. We'll get to it in a moment. Go on, Josh.
To that end, we have our link tree that's also up, social media bios, all that stuff. There is now a link to the Internet Game Archives arcade version of Root Beer Tapper.
Yes. I think I have a slide coming up in a minute. So, yeah.
I
want to have, but I, no, you're getting to the thing. Like, I want other people to get in on the love for this. My brother has been playing it nonstop. We're texting each other the score, our current scores and stuff. It is addictive and it is fantastic. Next week, we're going to be drinking whiskey cola, cans versus cocktails. So you're going to want to go out and buy Jack Daniel's whiskey cola in a can, Crown Royale whiskey and Royal cola in a can.
Royal.
Notice that whiskey is spelled differently on each of these cans. That really threw me. That really threw me.
Ask our guest about that.
Yep. And then, so we're going to have those canned ones, and then we're going to get like little airplane minis and make just classic cocktails with a can of Coke. So we got a little Jack Daniels, a little Crown Royale. That should be fun. My buddy Trevor Jones, who has a whiskey documentary out right now on PBS called The Water of Life, is going to be here. So he's really going to set us straight on a lot of this stuff. And I feel bad for making him drink this kind of whiskey, but we're going to do that.
I was going to be super happy about this selection, but glad he'll be joining us.
Check out us on Spotify. That's a new thing. T-Bash Live, wherever you want to find us. And as JoJo mentioned, there's a link tree. The link tree is beautiful. It'll take you to all things T-Bash. Okay. Tonight's special guest. Oof. He's a host of the podcast Waiting for Impact, Homophilia, and Troubled Waters. Check. He's the author of the book Party of One, a memoir in 21 songs. Check. Editor at large at Esquire, and he drinks things and might like ducks.
We haven't asked.
Haven't asked. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
Okay, yeah, I was asking you, JoJo. Please welcome to the show, Dave Holmes. Hey, Dave. Hey.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's so nice to see you both.
This is so great to see you.
This is a treat. Let me fix my framing. A little less headroom. There we go.
Oh, perfect. Look at
us. There it is. Oh, it's good to see you.
We are so happy to have you on the show. We're very excited that we're going to be drinking wine from a can in a little bit.
With
a duck all over it.
It's like it was designed for us and us alone. And I had to say to Dave, I was surprised we hadn't had him on in the podcast only days of T-Bash. I was genuinely shocked to find it. But
it does seem
I'm so
strange.
Glad you're here now. The timing feels right.
Yeah,
feels
we are
in the flow now.
I'm so ready. I'm so happy. And I've been listening, Josh, as I told you today, I've been listening a lot because your voices are very soothing. You are is it AMSR? MNDR? I don't know what the thing is, but it's like that. You guys have very nice voices, and it is. I am generally a honking car horn, and it is very nice to be in a more chilled out vocal space with you guys. So,
I don't know if we've ever gotten the chill AMSR. Can I call them kudos, Dave? Because I'm taking them as kudos.
Absolutely. That is, that's an endorsement.
Oh,
it's a strong endorsement.
I'm speechless. I'm a little sweaty.
But don't stop talking because it's pleasant to the ear.
So if you've heard any of the shows, and Dave, you know what's coming next. We like to get started with every guest with what's called the beverage profile. There are no wrong answers. There's no wrong beverages, but we just like to go through a typical day in your life of what you drink, starting from when you wake up. So what time do you wake up?
I wake up at 5. I've become a 5 a.m. guy.
Oh, I love that.
An early bird.
I'm an early bird. Never would have imagined it in a million years, but it's, but I like it. I like having that like hour of darkness and quiet before anything happens. It's lovely.
Yes.
Do I do anything with that hour? Not really. But
is there a beverage joining you during that hour, or do you nothing happens in that hour?
Literally, no. I sit in darkness and silence. No, there is
sitting up in bed.
Yeah. Completely dusty and quiet. I start the day with water, with the water that is left over in this bottle that is on my nightstand. From the night
hold on. That's too quick. Way too quick there, Dave. Pull that bad boy back up.
Mm-hmm. This is
okay.
It's not. There we go. It's not the one that is shaped like this that is expensive.
The swell bottle?
Yeah.
Swell. Thank you. It's not a swell bottle. It is it's branded from a wellness or like a workout app called Future.
Great. Plug.
And
is that spelled normal or is there like a twist on the spelling? I don't know why.
No, spelled perfectly normal, which is maybe why you haven't heard of it. It's actually a very nice. I get sent a lot of like things to try and potentially write about. And so I had like a 30-day like membership to Future and I had like a it's one of these where like you talk to a trainer a couple times a week and he sends you exercises to do and whatever. And my guy was like some college gymnast from like Kentucky and he would like we would FaceTime and there'd be piles of laundry in the background. It was just, it was like an OnlyFans video, but very chaste. And anyway, it was like fine. But I kept the bottle.
So they sent you the swag bottle also. And it did its job. Bottle, you're seeing Future every day of your life. Ooh.
I'm seeing Future every day of my life. I'm not using it, but I am seeing it. I do wake up several times in the night for a gulp of water. So I like continue with that in the morning, and then go to coffee after maybe 30 minutes. I find that my day is better when the first thing in my eyes is not Twitter and the first thing in my mouth is not coffee. Like if I can if I can do a little journaling, little sipping of water, perhaps a green juice, then I'm good. And then I started in with the coffee and I have 5,000 cups.
In getting back real quick to the gulps in the middle of the night, is the cap on all night? Like, is this recap? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's an investment. I like that. Though.
So it's a quiet, it's a silent top bottle. I assume it's not a noisy clanking around. Can we get any ASMR?
It makes a little bit of a noise.
Okay.
But it won't wake Ben up or thing is I have to have something with a lid and the lid has to be on because I am a restless sleeper and I will sometimes just spaz out and like I have knocked over many a glass. And what will happen when I do that is I will knock over a glass, sometimes an actual glass, which will then break. And then I'll just go go right back to sleep. And Ben like shake me awake so that the dog doesn't jump on the glass and bleed to death. So it has to be something with a lid so that there are no beverage catastrophes overnight.
Okay, gotcha. I love that.
This is now, a safety thing. So, yes. Okay.
It's a safety
pure
thing.
Pure safety. Really don't want water all over the
I have one more question about the vessel before we move.
And, let me also just say, like, an unlidded water tastes dusty in the morning. You find this to be true? It tastes like particles have landed on it, and it tastes earthier. I don't know.
You're still living in that yurt, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. The thatch. Yeah, roof.
I go between the yurt and the treehouse.
But Dave, you make such a great point. There is something I know exactly what you mean. It feels kind of dusty on the palate sometimes, and the temperature is, it's warmed up. And I've never really thought about that, but you're onto something there.
You got it.
Yeah, that is, it's contributing to the temperature of it's contributing to that dry mouth feel of it. Mm-hmm. And you got dander going on, and certainly
it could be dander,
dust, debris.
Just
human
stuff.
Dander, even.
Just stuff that should be caught in an air filter, but ends up in your water. Who needs it?
You cap it. Just cap it and move on.
So if you're having a coffee or a green juice, so that, is that happening like 5:30, 6 a.m. sort of? Is it that early?
About 5:30 or 6, yeah. The automatic coffee maker goes off at like 4:45. So it's nice. So like the kitchen smells like coffee in the morning, which is critical.
So you have the little... And then there's like that little coffee smoke finger coming out of the kitchen, wafting you on your tippy toes, like a pie on a windowsill.
That's exactly it.
I love this.
Yes. Yeah. It's not bad. So there's now an Erewhon in my neighborhood. I don't know if you've been to one of those places, but they're like, it's hell. Like it is doomed. to hell, and everyone who shops there is doomed to hell. It is crazy expensive and dumb and full of dumb shit, but they make a really good green juice, and that's like, you know, like spinach and apple and kale and ginger and lemon. It's really good. So I
is
have
it
like
a cold press situation?
I think it's a cold press situation. Yeah.
And are you getting single serve bottles or is it a bigger thing?
I get little glass bottles. There's probably four or five juice glasses in one glass bottle. You get that dollar return when you bring the glass bottle back. There's apparently an Erewhon membership situation where you pay them $200 and I can't get them to explain to me why. They're like, you get points. And I say, what are the points good for? And they're like, you exchange them.
You'll forget.
But we don't. Yeah, exactly. but their green juice is very, very good.
I feel like I even saw a bus ad recently that was basically saying like, yeah, it's fucking expensive. Just deal with it. That was
kind of the gist of the message. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's very wild. How much is the bottle?
God bless them.
Deposit included. How much is the bottle? Okay. $10. You're getting four rips out of that.
Yeah.
Wait, four rips as in four sips or four sessions, four days?
Four sessions.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four sip, and pass sessions. And I think actually the bottle deposit is, I think, $2.
It just went up now.
That brings the cost down to $8 per glass bottle, which is still too much.
So that's sitting in your fridge, ready to go in the morning.
Ready, shaking and sipping.
And if you do the green juice, are you doing coffee after the green juice? Like, is there ever a day that you're skipping the coffee or no?
There is never a day that I'm skipping the coffee. Okay. Yeah.
What kind of beans?
Glad you asked. They are alkalinized.
The only question
beans.
We had.
They're alkaline beans that like, so that the acid content is reduced. Ben's stomach is a problem area with acids and whatnot. So he got these like alkaline beans that he has to send out for. So like once a month we get a big box of them, and they're good. I mean, it is less acidic. I think the caffeine content is still the same. Feels the same.
Still full.
Still
That's
full.
Good.
What was your main takeaway, like after a week of having the alkaline beans? Did you notice a difference? Did Ben notice a difference? No. Was it like
Ben definitely noticed a difference? Yeah, like Ben definitely was in less searing stomach pain. But I really didn't notice a difference at all. So I'm either just coffee straight up, or about half the time I do the homemade Bulletproof. Which is, add the MCT oil, the clarified butter, you add a scoop or two of protein. I can't handle that every day, but I do that about maybe every other day. And then on the days when I don't, I just have cup after cup after cup until I jump out of my skin.
Now, we definitely, Josh, we definitely talked about this ages ago,
yes,
right? Mm-hmm. But so it's been a long time, and I feel like the fever around the bulletproof coffee has subsided mm-hmm. a little bit. So please forgive me for asking any dumb mm-hmm. questions. Mm-hmm. Does it, when you say you like can't handle it, you know, too many times a week, does it just send you running to the bathroom? Like, what is it about?
No, that was my first thought.
Not really. No, not really. It's just, it's kind of more rich, you know, and I really do just mm-hmm. kind of like just black coffee. It's definitely rich. And it's, I also just kind of feel like drinking butter first, you know, or second thing in the morning is maybe not the best move. Although it's, you know, all these like CrossFit types really swear by it. So I don't
that's
know.
Right. If it was good enough for caveman forebears, it's good enough for us.
So like
clarified butter.
I had some left over and then I put it on ice and I like finished the rest of it. And there was enough like sort of, hardened butter
on
the sides of the cup that I was like, that's what my body looks like. And that kind of freaked me out. So now it's half and half.
Josh, ask the butter question. I know we have the same question.
Are you preparing this butter in advance?
No.
Because I always kind of picture just lopping a chunk off of a stick of butter. Clarified butter is coming in a jar.
It's G-A-E.
You got the ghee over there.
Got that ghee. You can get it anywhere. You don't have to get it from Erewhon. You can get it from good old Ralph's. it comes in a glass jar. You don't have to refrigerate it. It's there. It's there for you.
And so what's your body feel?
Ralph Macchio also wore a gi in Karate Kid. Fun fact side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Body feel. Yeah, body feel. Body what's feel. The difference? A black coffee on a Tuesday compared to bulletproof on a Wednesday. What's the difference feeling of your body for the day?
I think the story that I tell myself is that the butter and the oil and maybe the protein or whatever, like slow the absorption of the caffeine. And also when I do bulletproof, I stay to one cup. It's like a giant cup, but I have that and then that's what I have. So I have like more sustained energy, I guess, over the course of the morning.
Oh, is it a smoother ride too?
It's a smoother ride. It's a smoother ride.
Okay.
The ride.
I could see.
Yeah.
I could see getting on that. The bullet train. Mm-hmm.
I see JoJo grabbing the ghee the next time you see it. I just envision this happening.
I feel like I could get it. I already like half and half or sometimes even heavy cream in my coffee.
Ooh.
So I'm okay with it getting viscous on me.
Yeah.
And I like this. I have a problem with, I feel like zapped of energy by small children, and I do find that if I could, there's always a time like you get hungry really soon, and I would love something that is sort of like stretching that out, even if that thing is like turns out it's 2 tablespoons of butter,
right?
Nothing to get you going like a bunch of dairy to
that's dairy what they
kick you into gear,
But
famous
I also
marathon runners,
I also don't
horses
really eat in the morning. I don't usually eat until like early afternoon. I'm not like on a strict intermittent fasting thing. I just don't generally eat until afternoon. So
gotcha.
I get a little less like peckish or whatever. So
Kim has a great question. Is there a special bulletproof mug versus the black coffee mug? Different mugs?
Well, Kim, thank you for asking. There is a travel mug that is tall. That is also, it's I think from Alfred.
Alfred Coffee.
From Ventura Place.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I
like that one.
Nice big tall travel mug. And it's like, and it holds my like daily allowance of bulletproof coffee. So I use that.
So wait, are you sipping
none of our mugs? I'm sipping over the course of a full morning.
Like 10 o'clock, like 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. kind of situation.
When are you going for a sip and it's not there, you know, like when you do that thing where you,
probably you're like, 10 to 11.
Okay.
Something like that.
That's good.
Also, lukewarm or even slightly chilly bulletproof coffee is not bad. Anything other than piping hot coffee to me is repulsive. I can't take warm coffee. I don't like iced coffee. Like black coffee has to be scalding hot or I hate it. But bulletproof coffee can be kind of any temperature.
And not to dwell here too long, but this is what we do.
No,
what are the ratios of the stuff you're putting in your, what are the ratios? Exactly. The ratios you're putting in your bulletproof, how much ghee, how much oil.
It is now I Rachel Ray it, I eyeball it, but it's supposed to be, I think like a couple, like a tablespoon or two of this MCT oil. I don't know what that stands for. And then a tablespoon or two of ghee, which I also don't know what that stands for. A scoop or two of protein powder, and then the rest of the way up with black coffee. The rest of the way up, a magic bullet, like blender cup of black coffee.
And then you hit that, the magic bullet, and then that all goes into the mug.
That's correct.
Wait, so it's hot in the magic bullet? You're running the magic bullet with fire. Hot?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, if that blew up? That could be a disaster.
But it doesn't, Andy. Okay. Why would it?
I'm just worried about you as well.
I appreciate that. But I understand how to operate a magic bullet. So I'm not.
You actually are talking to someone that has never really fully grasped blender mechanics.
And,
yeah, I've had a couple, more than a couple mishaps, to be honest. Wow.
Really?
It's weird, though, hearing all the stuff that goes into it. My brain is having a hard time making sense of, like, if I was to pick one of the ones that would be better lukewarm, the one with all that stuff in it, unless, is the protein powder, is it flavored?
It's not.
Interesting.
I don't like artificial vanilla flavor. I don't like artificial chocolate flavor.
I think that would be tough, because then you might end up with like some stevia in there or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Really?
No, we don't need it.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. So after the bullet coffee, we're cruising towards lunchtime. Take us through the afternoon and lunch. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. What is happening in lunch? Occasionally, this is new, but occasionally, and we're back to the magic bullet, but a smoothie. I might make myself a little almond milk smoothie with some almond butter, a banana, some more protein powder. I don't know why I need all this protein, but that's like a quick, easy meal, and I can just, you know, gulp it down, get back to what I'm doing.
What time is it? What time is it?
By this time, probably early afternoon.
And so you honestly, and we're going to stick to the beverages, but let me veer just for a second. Forgive me,
please,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
But it's very relevant. So you really haven't had any food until this yet. So this smoothie, this bulletproof coffee, you are getting all your protein. It is kind of helping fuel you.
Yeah, I feel this is all earned. This is earned protein powder. You don't have to feel guilty about this.
I guess it is. And somewhere in there is a workout. I like to work out on an empty stomach. So I guess I do. Yeah. The protein does help.
That's good.
And it's as soon as you take the sip and the bullet coffee is gone, you throw it against the wall and then you kind of start working out.
As hard as I can. Yeah. And then I lift and sweat and swear. And And then, so sometimes there is a smoothie.
Is that future bottle making it to the wherever you're working out? Is what's your water situation during the workout?
Absolutely. It is always within reach. It's got a special place in my car.
I had a question about this earlier, and I was going to let it go, but now I won't. The future bottle, was it strictly promotional, or did you have to earn it?
It was just promotional. That's a good question. And it was just promotion.
I wasn't sure if Seth was dangling it out there like,
No.
10 more reps and this is yours.
No, it came with the welcome package. Yes. And it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not my favorite of the bottles of its kind, but I do tend to leave them on airplanes and in Ubers and things like that. So
it's the best you got until you get something else.
It's the best I've got until somebody sends me something else.
That's it. It's kind of the new sunglasses, right? Like if you get expensive sunglasses, you're bound to sit on them if you until you break that spell.
Yeah.
There's something about that. It's probably the same thing with water bottles here. You're going to be cursed with promotional water bottles until you can finally somehow save that very special one.
Yes.
Lizzie's asking, what kind of water is going into that bottle? Is it tap water? Is it filtered water? Bottled water?
Tap water run through a Brita.
Nice.
Got a big old Brita.
Did you keep it in the fridge or on the counter?
Keep it in the fridge. Keep it in the fridge. I like water nice and cold. Coffee got to be scalding hot. Water got to be super, super cold.
Equilibrium. Sipper or chugger? Are you a sipper or a chugger?
Probably both. You know, depending on the moment. Depending on the moment. In the night, a gulper, an eager gulper. Probably through the day. You know, little sips. Sure.
You can control yourself, is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is water, so the idea of control doesn't really come into it. But yeah.
Future's getting a lot of promo on this episode. Kim's asking, is the volume of the Future bottle? This is where we're going to see Future, the gym company, pivot to a bottle company after this episode.
Yes. Listen, I just want success for them, however they define it.
Go to futurefitness.cc/Dave Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
20% off.
For 10% off. Is the volume of the Future bottle satisfactory? It's a little small for me, actually.
I think Kim probably noticed that.
Yeah. Mm. But in the last couple of years, I've barely left my house, so it doesn't matter. You know, like when it gets low, I can just go right back, fill her up.
And in your house, who is taking on the filling the Brita duties? Is that pretty split?
I would say that's pretty evenly split. Yeah, I think it's pretty evenly split. There's a, you know, there is a moment, there's a level where it's just like, this has to happen and it doesn't, I can't wait around.
It becomes a microaggression if it's not filled up at a particular level.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know what?
That's another podcast.
The one time when I am really satisfied with this bottle is there's a spin studio in Toluca Lake, like not too far from where I live, that a friend of mine teaches at, and it's a hot room spin class. So it's like Bikram yoga, but a spin class. And you, so like when he teaches, he typically puts me on a list or whatever. And then I'm a sucker, so I bought a bajillion classes. So I go there a few times a week, and it's a really good workout, but you sweat so much that it's alarming. And you get like dehydrated almost immediately. And so I'm like, the bottle is empty halfway through the class, which is bad. I could maybe spend the money and get a new bottle, is what I'm learning about myself.
Do they have a water cooler at least, or there something with little paper cups for the people that just are out of reach. Dangerous?
It's just they out of reach. Did. You can try to reach it from your bike, and they won't let you get there.
They used to, but they got rid of it during COVID.
Come on.
Yeah. Which I think, I don't know if that was like an issue, like, whether or not it's sanitary, but I think it was probably more because it was probably expensive to maintain, and like it's just get rid of the thing and then you sell more actual like plastic bottles of water, and like they were doing anything to make money in a time when like the last thing you were going to do in late 2020 would be to like sweat in a room
with other people.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. That was one of the first things to go.
That was one of the first things to go and one of the last things to come back. So I get it.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
You're canceling that Sparklet subscription. Certainly.
So, exactly. So after potential smoothie time, we're getting to like early evening, I feel like almost. Like take us through early evening through dinner. What is happening? And I hope you're eating dinner. Each his own.
I'm having a healthy lunch. I'm having a sensible dinner. If it's not a drinking night, then just water. Like I never liked sodas. I'm not a juice guy really. So typically like just water. If we're having wine, then Ben and I will split a bottle of wine with dinner. If it is a like drinking night with a capital D, then like a chilled tequila with lime.
Yeah.
While we're having cheese and crackers and catching up, and then
do you have a favorite tequila, by the way?
Like Casadores. I'm not like super fancy.
Sure.
Espolón is good.
Yeah.
Speaking of shit, I got sent. Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri have a tequila brand.
Yes.
Called Santo Spirits, and their PR person has me on a list, and so I get these like baskets from them every now and then, and you're hungover before anything else happens.
No, Dave, I disagree. We haven't even talked about this on the show. A friend gave me a bottle as a joke,
Yeah.
And I liked it so much, I went to BevMo and got myself another bottle of it. But I never hit it so hard. It was in the blue bottle.
We have the blue bottle. We got the white bottle first, and the white bottle was bad. It was bad. It was one of those where just like you have a sip of it and you immediately have a headache. That was not good. The next basket was the blue bottle, and that was slightly better. But it's at the back of the bar cart. There's always a new tequila in front of it. We haven't gone back to it.
So it's fun because I didn't think there was any chance I was going to like it. And then I really liked it. But this means at some point we have to do a blind taste test of tequilas.
Yes.
And I'm just curious, you know?
Okay.
But that's amazing. I'm glad it came up.
Oh, please. We might have to bring you back for
keep me on the list for that.
So, wow, I wasn't sure if I found the right brand looking online, and certainly up pops a picture. Chilling on the hood of the truck is the Red Rooster, Red Rocker? Sammy Hagar? Rocker. And, of course, the Mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri. This is their opaque bottles. They've got, so the blue bottle, the white bottle was the bad one. That's the Blanco.
White bottle, that makes sense. I did not enjoy.
I'm going to pull it up.
The blue is the Reposado. And so, Andy, do you remember which one you got?
Yes, I had the Reposado. I'm trying to pull it up. The site's being a little weird here. I'm going to get it up so people can see it.
Okay. And then a little Mezquila, which I assume is Mezcal.
The Mezquila. It's a mixture.
Or is it a combo?
Mezcal and tequila.
It's a blend.
Yeah, it's a combo. Yeah. It's a mashup.
I don't know.
That doesn't. Santo. We go.
There they are.
The bottle I had had like a dangling card attached that had a picture of the two of them, and Sammy Hagar was pouring the tequila onto the guitar that guy was holding, which I thought was amazing. That's whoever was taking the photos was like, could you pour it on the guitar? That might be fun.
Fun times. So I was invited by their PR person. They did like a media trip to some like lodge on a mountaintop in Montana. And it was like early December 2020. They did like a media trip up there that was like under the wire. And, you know, with like a fancy chef and tequila pairings for every meal, including breakfast. And like a private Sammy Hagar concert and you know, 20 minutes with Guy Fieri to ask him whatever you want to ask him and all that kind of thing. And I had, you know, this was peak COVID.
Touch his hair,
touch his goatee. I had just like canceled Christmas with my mother. You know what I mean? Like it was, you know, it was at a time when it was like not safe to travel, but they kept being like, sending me updates on this trip and it kept not getting canceled. And I was like, am I going to like blow off my mom, but say yes to Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri? And it was close. Yes, no. They do some good new trips. The world's sort of coming back. I look forward to some being on some dumb beach with Guy Fieri and Sammy Hagar. And who knows?
I wish
who
that for you.
Yeah.
Chad Kroger might make an appearance. Lita Ford could
certainly
swing through. Yeah.
The rest of Chicken Feet. I'm so close.
With my, Chicken Foot.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Chicken Foot.
Yeah.
Chicken Foot. Dave, if that's a +2 situation, you know who to call, okay?
Yeah,
Ben and my dog. Yes, I did. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, is there anything I feel like I may have like interrupted you about the tequila because I got so excited about Santo tequila? Mm-hmm. Is there anything I feel like you might were going to add to that list of spirits, maybe kind of rounding out your beverage profile?
Yeah, in the colder months, the tequila will be a bourbon, an Irish whiskey, perhaps.
Nice.
Usually wine with dinner. And then that usually brings us to the end. I, from my, I like just sort of, emptied my parents' house, and one of the things that I took was an old like whiskey decanter and their old cocktail like highball yes. glasses. So I have that on my bar cart in my office. Sometimes we'll have like light bourbon over a single rock. Just, you know,
oh.
talk about
what's in there now. What's in the decanter now?
A Michter's
oh, yeah.
bourbon. I forget Sweet. Which one, but a Michter's bourbon. Yeah.
Those are good ones.
And that's, yeah, that's about it. Beers on Saturday. I love Saturday. It. Try to keep it to one day a week. And yeah, and then that's the rest.
That's beautiful. And you're filling there up the is. Water bottle, I assume, before putting it on the nightstand.
Absolutely. Got to.
Well, okay. Well, when was the last time you drank a canned wine seltzer?
Well, I did try about a month ago. The publicist for Albert Hammond Jr. of the Strokes sent me
didn't on your distro list.
Yes, I'm on some good lists, y'all. But he has started a wine seltzer line.
Get Jetway. The
yeah.
Jetway, JoJo. I'm Jetway. Writing this down.
We got mm-hmm. we got to get on the Jetway.
You got to get on that Jetway.
My man, so, he just sold his catalog yeah. and now he's, or maybe it's Julian Casablancas, but, mm-hmm. and then you got a sparkling wine business or a mm-hmm. wine spritzer business. I'm mm-hmm. here for it. This mm-hmm. is,
he's got a big place up in Montana. I think we were going to do an interview maybe up there. It didn't come through, but, who knows? It could still happen. So
Montana
I have
is clearly
his,
calling you. I,
it is. It definitely is. So I've had Jetway. I've had his like white and his rosé, and I didn't love them.
Okay, no, shots fired.
We're among friends right now. Yeah, fuck him.
That's right. This is not an official report.
It was not my thing, generally.
Okay. But well, let's see if
my heart is ready to love.
Wine seltzer is your yeah. thing. Are you guys mm-hmm. ready to dive into these?
I'm so ready. Now, yeah. does anyone have a relationship with Decoy Wines?
My wife the Decoy does.
Family of wines. Okay.
So I didn't know much about it, and my wife tonight saw them chilling in the fridge and said, "Hey, can I have one of those?" And I said, "Yeah, of course." And you I did not ask her if it was any good. Over. I didn't want to know okay. anything. But I was like, "Are you familiar with Decoy?" Because Josh, you offhandedly said like. Oh, I think Decoy is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's like it's like a good wine you can find.
Right. You know? And you just kind of said that in passing. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Well, I got these because of the duck on them for Mr. Snackers. That was mm-hmm. the only reason I bought them. Yes. And Elizabeth was like, well, the last time I went to Napa, she went to the vineyard, which is called Duck. I want to say it's Duckhorn. And there's also mm-hmm. Duckhorn wine, which is like the fancy marquee
right.
wine. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she loves Duckhorn. And she says, Decoy is pretty good. It's not that cheap though. Like she said it's maybe 20, 30 bucks at the store. And I think there's other bottles in that price range that she likes better, but she loves mm-hmm. the premium Duckhorn thing. But anyway, so it just kind of intrigued me. What are your guys' relationship with the brand? If any.
Well, we try to get up to Napa a couple times a year. And like I was never a wine person until I moved to California, and just there's so much great wine like up in Napa and Santa Barbara and Paso Robles and whatever. And so when we started going up to Napa, Duckhorn was like one of the first places we went. It's right in the neighborhood that we like to stay in like St. Helena. Which is like on the Napa side, about halfway up, and all of my favorite Cabernets come from there. And it's like, it's a great area. Duckhorn is a huge kind of sterile and impersonal, like tasting room experience. Like it feels like it's not a chain, but it feels like it's got the feel of a chain. It's like, it's giant and airy and very clean and very kind of, they get you in, get you out. And the Duckhorn wines are really good. Like they're about in the like $50 to $70 range.
Okay.
And they're good. Decoy is their like super mass market like bottle that you can find in a Ralph's.
Anywhere it's a supermarket in the country, brand.
It's a supermarket brand, and yeah, you're right. It's like a $25 bottle, and it is good, but it's not. They're definitely better bottles at that area. And then there's like Paradox, which is somewhere in between. It is Duckhorn. There is a it was like the Duckhorn family, and they were one of the first to make wine in Napa. And they were also one of the first to get bought out by like a massive venture capital firm. And so now it is just like this, it's just all about like making shit tons of money.
So it's no surprise that they got into this game what you're saying too.
It'll be a sports beverage before you know it.
So
it'll be,
it'll be a monster. Gatorade with a yes. duck on it.
Yes.
Great.
Jojo, just because we're all just for more ideas, I'm just throwing this out to the universe later. It might be fun to do a blind challenge of Duckhorn, Paradox, and Decoy, like maybe a Chardonnay of each to see, you know,
are they any difference. Different at all? Yes, I love that. Because if you heard this, that like apparently some of the greatest sommeliers and your wine wizards can't tell the difference between white and red wine blindfolded, that there are certain things like I can't remember where I heard this. You'd think I would have jotted it down or researched it before I'm throwing this out on this particular show, but I had heard that, and it sounds, I mean, we know that's like absurd, but it does make me really want to put some of these head to head on that price point scale, because that's a fun one to do. And especially when you kind of have a situation like this where they have that sort of like Banana Republic Gap Old Navy setup.
Put
those jean shorts all up against each other and see what fits, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's
summer, baby.
The difference between like a $4 bottle of wine and a $12 bottle of wine is vast. The difference between a $12 bottle of wine and a $100 bottle of wine is I can't taste it. You know, like it's
right to pick the most expensive.
I've learned that lesson expensively through the years. I like going to tasting rooms and being like, this is so good, and spending $80 on a bottle that I then open in 2 months. And it's like, this is fine.
It's fine.
This is fine.
Well, I'm ready to, I feel pretty ready to jump into these.
I do too. My first question is seltzer, right? It says wine seltzer. What is the difference between a wine seltzer and a wine spritzer? And are they just running with seltzer because seltzer is having its moment? Is there a difference? I should have looked this up before the show, but we can talk it out.
I don't know. I also don't think I've ever had a wine spritzer in all of my time.
It just makes me think of The Simpsons where Ned Flanders goes crazy after drinking a wine spritzer. I've had them, I guess, because it is just, I mean, the answer is no, there's no difference. This is the recipe. So like, here's a recipe for a white wine spritzer. It is 3 ounces of chilled white wine, 1 ounce of cold club soda or mineral water. Now that granted, that did not say seltzer, and a lime wedge or orange peel for garnish. That's it.
Well, if you are to look at the ingredients on you're not going to be able to read this. I'll read it to you. But these are our three different cans that I wanted to pull up for tonight. But the ingredients, carbonated water, Chardonnay, natural flavors, citric acid. So very similar, Jojo.
Slurping agent? A sharding agent?
What is
sharding agent?
Sulfiting agent to protect flavor.
Gotta protect that flavor.
Oh, wait. Sorry, Jojo. I got rid of you for a minute.
It's okay. It's understandable. I do really wish that this little orange twist here was just floating, that Mr. Snackers here is gotten his bill, was just floating around freely inside every can as a little surprise at the bottom.
What a dream. Must say, and then let's start drinking these. I really like the can. I don't know. I'm a sucker
It's a nice can.
For this can for some reason. I grab one of these at a party. All right, let's. Yeah. Which are we starting with first? We've got Chardonnay with lemon and ginger. We have Chardonnay with clementine orange. And we have Sauvignon Blanc with vibrant lime.
Okay.
Do we knock out the Chardonnays in a row, in series, or do we split them up?
I think in a tasting, you would want to start with the lighter and then move on to the heavier, which would be the Sauvignon Blanc.
All right, let's start with the vibrant lime.
Trained.
I'm inclined to end with the lemon and ginger.
Okay.
Because it feels the most, that ginger might hang around.
We have a game plan, and I love it. Listen, these are I'm going to put this up real quick. There's only 80 calories in each of these, 1 gram of sugar. So they're, they're pretty light, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, low in carbohydrate. Unless it's like there are 16 servings in every can, but there's not.
Dave, take a smell on nose on this one. That is intense.
Smell the sharding agent in this one.
Like it smells wrong, right?
It smells like a cleaning solvent.
Mine smells a bit like a dirty diaper.
Yeah, there is like some sort of gas type smell thing.
Yeah.
Airplane bathroom.
Yes.
Oh, it is the natural flavoring is the hockey puck in a urinal. Is they just squeeze that in there?
It's a little Mentos sized one. A cat pees on the top of the case. They send them out. Chases away the ducks.
All right, let's take a sip, gentlemen.
I'm going to get a glass, dude.
Oh, that's nice, Jojo. Thanks for doing that. Let me zoom in on you so we can see that properly.
I just wanted to see the bubbles and what the color. I mean, but I guess given what we're dealing with, it is just carbonated water and white wine. It looks exactly like that. Nothing, no funny business. It's not cloudy or anything.
No surprises.
Now, both of you guys, I really, the last time I had wine was probably like 5 years ago. I really don't drink it. And I know you guys drink much more than me. Is there anything about this that smells like it should?
Like a Sauvignon Blanc? Not at all.
Okay. At all. Okay. Okay. Because this smells wrong. Let's take a sip though.
Yeah. I'm ready.
In the glass, it still smells like shit. I mean that quite literally. Shea Bobé is saying, wine people call that smell barnyard, LOL.
No. This is not barnyard. This is not, no, Shea, this is not barnyard. No, this is fully Port Authority, the first pass through the bathroom. Yeah.
There was an emergency and possibly a crime.
I don't like to give too much away too early into a tasting, but this ain't doing it. Like there's something wrong with this.
It's trouble.
No.
As a sip, it's not so bad. If you could somehow, the fact that pouring it into the glass did nothing to mitigate that makes me worried.
It probably made it worse, actually. It probably aerated it. It opened it up. Yeah. Now, on my 85th, heavy sniff of this, I finally got, a whisper of Fruit Loops. You know, that lime.
Fruit Loops and Port Authority.
Yes.
Somehow, for some reason, Dave, that doesn't make it better for me.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, couple questions before we move on too. Yeah. Initial thought, I have no idea what the drunk on this would be like, but I feel like it might be angry, and I feel like the hangover would be horrendous off of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Yeah, and we're not going to find out. There's no way I could ever drink enough of this to find out.
I will say I tend to find if I've got seltzer water in the thing I'm drinking, the hangover is not that bad, but I do agree. I mean, it just feels like the sulfur content or whatever's happening here is no good. Dave, can you describe barnyard effectively for us and our listeners?
It's like an earthy kind of smell that you might get from, from like a heavier sort of like red wine, like a minerally kind of earthy smell.
Okay.
Like really almost like manure-y, but very like faintly.
Like just, right, you know, but the, it's the so of, dense, it's not color. Like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like poo-poos. It just sort of, there's like a, you know, just an earthy smell. This is unnatural. This is not of this earth.
This is science smell.
This is science. It doesn't taste terrible.
No. If you could pinch your nose, or if you had a straw going, and you could be, you know, maybe a long straw, comedically long straw, you're stealing someone else's milkshake, kind
like
of
like a curly whirly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's, yeah. I could go get a, I have some of those in the house.
You guys are being generous. You guys are being generous. I think let's move on to the Chardonnay with Clementine orange.
I don't get lime at all.
No, I'd forgotten what flavor we were even drinking.
Yeah. We didn't even really address that since we've opened these.
No.
Cause you can't smell it.
I maybe get a hint of wine. Let's move on to the Chardonnay with Clementine.
It's not vibrant. I'll tell you that.
No. Okay. Okay, this one much better smell.
Tantalizing fruit flavor, says the can.
No problems with the nose on this one at all.
Yeah, this is nice. It's orange in the way of children's aspirin.
Yeah. Like really leaning into the children's aspirin. Wait, what did you say? Sorry, Dave.
Circus peanut, kind of.
I still get a little milky diarrhea smell, and I can't tell if it's just in my nostrils from the lime one.
It's much less. Whatever the milky diarrhea on this is, much less. If we're giving them a number, the first one had 10. This is like a 3.
Yeah,
a sip. This has a way bigger flavor.
It does. It does. I don't mind this. The only soda I have ever liked was Minute Maid Orange in the '80s, and this is a little sense memory of that.
It's not bad, but there's nothing classy about the taste of this. Like, it really does feel like a kid's drink, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, that's not cool.
And more like decoy mixed with beer. Like, there's something about it that's unsavory in a way that, I was really hoping to get buzzed tonight on the show. I won't lie. I thought that was going to happen, and now I'd have to really force the issue in a way that seems inappropriate.
I could finish this one. I couldn't finish the other one. But
not good.
The people of Duckhorn, are they like, I'm just confused at like the R&D on this. They're making these great bottles of wine, and they're trying to figure this out, and then they're handing it to people in the tasting room that, you know, get paid to do this, and they're with a straight face looking at each other like, yeah, I think this is the one. I'm just confused.
Here again, this is an outfit run by a venture capital firm. So it doesn't matter. Like, all they're thinking about is, okay, I'll tell you who the decoy consumer is. It is a white couple in their... like in their 50s, 60s, whose older siblings would be like the Margaritaville people, but they're a little classier, right? So they probably went hunting once and then decided that was their personality, and they got something stuffed and it's on their wall, and there's like a decal on their Yukon or whatever. And they're kind of like, they gravitate toward that sort of like, return to the earth, you know, George W. Bush, clean and brush, fucking nonsense. And like, you know, they got like a job in a bank, but they think they're a hunter. And so they like buy shit with ducks on it. And that leads them to Duckhorn and decoy and whatever. And this, it doesn't matter how this tastes, because this is what their kids are getting when they're out of town and they're having a party And, yeah, you know, and they're too scared to do Molly because of fentanyl. And so they like they have an older kid buy them this, and this is classy. Like, it's rebellious, but it's also kind of like,
you safer, know, much
their,
safer.
Keeps their feeling. Class prerogatives sorted, right?
That was a rich tapestry.
Thank you very much.
Oh. We have a writer in our midst, people.
Wow.
Savor it. That's incredible.
I know them well. Yeah.
And
I
think you nailed that. Those older siblings have just Duck Dynasty t-shirts. That's kind of.
Yes. Yeah. what it is like guys I went to high school with. This is, you know, all their little McKenzies and Tuckers and Tylers are having this while the folks are away at the whatever.
Man,
can not to put Jetway on Front Street, but how does Jetway fare against this?
I don't remember. Similar. I think this one is a little bit better. I think the whatever Sauvignon Blanc one was a little bit worse. This is a little bit better.
Got it.
This is definitely grown on me. And do a taste test of one.
Yes, you absolutely should.
For Jetway.
Yeah, we'll wait for you.
Should I do it?
We'll do it.
I'll do it.
Yeah, go grab it. Okay. Go grab it. You can grab it.
Okay. And I'll hear you the whole time, so don't talk shit.
No worries. Josh, would now be a good time to maybe check in on our friend real quick?
Yeah.
Because he might want to know what's going on with, you know, this beverage. I feel like it would excite him. You know what I mean?
For sure. And for those who couldn't join last week, we're talking about our friend Mr. Snackers, my duck. Last week there was a what they call the technical snafu at the ducky daycare. I talked to a couple of other ducky parents, and apparently a couple of the ducks escaped.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And they did. I think they got them back, but Snackers is all right. He's in there. You can see him.
Where the light? What was chilling. The deal with the stream? Was it a power thing, or like why?
That's
why
what the daycare was saying. I don't know if I buy it. I'm feeling it might have been more of a we don't want them to see us asleep at the wheel here.
Do you think? I wonder if this Jetway is chilled. Oh, we got.
I actually had two.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Actually, let me see. Can we see those cans real quick?
Jetway.
Josh, I should have sent you home with some. Okay. So.
Oh, I like
it. I'll be a good come by after this.
Hold on. Okay. Don't move. I want to get you big. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are
right.
Classy, so modern.
Here's white wine. Here's okay. Rosé.
I think that's white. Also wise.
Yeah. Why? Okay. White wine is infused with yuzu. Fijian ginger, elderflower, and yerba mate.
Mama.
Oh, whoa.
While rosé is infused with white peach, Fijian ginger, yerba mate, and orange peel.
Okay.
Well, you know, so don't you feel like you have to crack both if you want to save that rosé for later, but the other one I do feel like is relevant right now.
It is relevant. Honestly, it's not only relevant, it's important.
It's downright vital.
We appreciate you.
I just don't see who's picking this up for the beach.
Right.
I don't know. I will say this orange one has grown on me, and I could see myself finishing this entire thing.
Okay.
But the orange one
is not terrible. Okay, so this smells better than the two decoys that we've had so far.
Phew.
I maybe didn't know how good I had it with Jetway until
we went to the decoy. There you go.
Yeah.
This might be a real moment for Jetway.
It might be. Hold on. All right. Yeah, see, it doesn't taste good.
Okay.
It doesn't taste good. Has a bad taste.
Are they similar though? Are they cousins? Like, does it have is it the same overall vibe? Or is it a different type of thing?
This is way less fizzy, first of all. And I think it's the effervescence that really saves the decoy. If there's anything good about it, it's like the bubbles distract you a little bit. This, it's not as fizzy, and there's competing flavors, and it just sort of adds up to nothing.
Got it.
Yeah, not bad.
All right, let's move on to the Chardonnay with lemon and ginger.
Sorry to this jet way. Okay. Chardonnay with lemon and ginger. Is it Fijian ginger, do you reckon?
Probably not.
Okay.
It doesn't even, ginger's not even listed in the ingredients.
Oh, guess what? Guess what? Get ready to go to Philadelphia because we are back in the Port Authority.
Yeah, we are back in the Port Authority.
Wow.
It's really unreal. These really smell like the bathroom.
I don't know what to say.
They do. They do. They smell like all of the smells of the bathroom.
We've drank a lot of stuff on this show. We've done, I mean, over 100. We've done what? At this point, 120-ish episodes of stuff. I don't recall a situation where everything smelled and tasted a little bit like doo-doo. And that is a little bit alarming on the product side.
And it's chemical doo-doo. Like, it does, it is Port Authority. Like,
it's the doo-doo of the future.
They nailed it.
You're right.
Okay, y'all froze. I rebooted. I'm very sorry. But I'm back.
I didn't even notice. I thought we were taking a long, slow sip. I really did.
Yeah.
Really just nose in there.
I'm going to down in one.
This is horrible. This is horrible. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that if you hadn't had a sip yet.
And I disagree.
Again, this always happens to us. You like this one?
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Dave's coming along on the ride with you, I think, JoJo. You like it too?
I don't like it. It's better than the lime and not as good as the orange.
Okay.
It's in between.
Okay.
Dave's rankings are in.
I think I will give that to you. I'm circling back to the lime right now.
I think the circling.
Oh God, the smell of the lime is unreal. It's unreal.
I feel like the circling back is pretty critical here, but that's what I was going to say. It doesn't. The smell has dissipated.
I'm really curious which one my wife had, and wow, she needs to win an Oscar for her performance, not letting me know. Okay, well, I'm going back to the ginger.
Okay.
I will say you can at least get the ginger on it. That's there for me.
All right, okay.
Oh, but
it's orange. It's really horrible.
The orange is dropping really in my rankings.
It's not good.
I don't feel good, guys. This is
the problem.
This is making me feel sad.
good God.
I really, aside from my like hypothetical decoy consumer, I can't imagine who this is for.
And I can't imagine a single repeat buyer. Let me say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what they're really banking on is people just buying it in the seltzer crate. Like, it's a pure cash in by them to get in on the hard seltzer train. And just hope people buy a couple of cases and throw it in the cooler for the people who say, I don't like hard seltzers. I only drink wine, or you just want to throw another option in there. And it seems like a day drinker. I'm just thinking about, imagine having a beach day completely ruined by the presence of a cooler full of only these.
But you bring up a great point, the party play of it all, and that consumer who, like, I could see myself buying these for a party if my wife was like, hey, will you get some, like, canned wines, too, for the barbecue? And I'd be like, okay, and I'm looking on the shelves, and I see these cans, and obviously we're partial to ducks because of Mr. Snackers, but, like, I'm like, fuck, those look kind of cool. I'll get those ones and throw them in the cooler, and everyone at the party is probably polite. They're not going to be like, these are horrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could see that consumer in the party play.
Yeah, if it's the fourth thing you've had, then it's like, this is terrible, but whatever.
Or then you could blame it on so many things, right? Even like, I don't really feel great, but it couldn't possibly be that canned bubbly wine I drank. Now, this is something that that a lot of people, I also feel like the canned wine thing, while it's also expanded, it's also, I think, a play to be like, well, yeah, you've trusted our, you know, whatever, $15 to $20 bottle of wine. And if you're choosing again between sort of like barbecue cocktails, people might trust it a little more.
Yeah. But that's getting back to what Dave said about the venture capital of it all, is like they literally were looking at a spreadsheet and being like, hey, someone gave a presentation, hey, if we make wine seltzers in a can, it means this to our bottom line this year. 100%. Like they saw the dollar signs of exactly what they're going to make, whether or not it even tastes good.
Do you know what else I don't taste at all in any of these is Chardonnay or
Great Point.
Cabernet or Sauvignon Blanc. I don't taste any qualities of wine.
Correct. Distinctive flavors between the two, right? Even if you're wines can taste different, certainly. But like even the fact that drinking them back to back, it's not like if you said I only drink Chardonnays and then someone gave you this Sauvignon Blanc, you wouldn't spit it out for that reason.
Right.
God, yeah. I'm burpy now too. Now, someone in the comments mentioned, all right, E. Libra said, they agree with you, but that Barnyard is usually found in red wine. Cat pee is found in some Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand.
Is that just the term called cat pee, or it's not real?
No, that's it's like a smell that is sometimes like a note that you get
that like astringent kind of ammonia thing.
Right.
I don't want that.
They also then followed up with that. It is from wildfires. I assume that's about the barnyard thing, not the cat pee thing.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Ash from recent wildfires. Yeah. A lot of recent California vintages have been kind of damaged by wildfires.
Wow. Okay, well, let's rate these gentlemen. Let's rate these. I'm going to go, I'll go first real quick and then let you guys go. It's really easy for me. Number one is the orange Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. Number two is the other Chardonnay with the lemon and ginger. Yeah. And low on the bottom, this vibrant lime.
Vibrant.
Hockey puck urinal. Seltzer, water. Oof.
Dave?
Okay. I go Clementine Orange. This jet thing. And the lemon one. And then, distant last is that lime.
Good fucking... The stank on these things.
The lime is is what you pour on vomit to absorb it in a grade school.
I don't even know. I truly don't know how to rank these. I had the lime one opened up in the glass, and a lot of the diarrhea smell has dissipated. And so I thought I'll just dump some of the orange one in here. And that just let it loose. I'm not joking. It smells like throw up.
Arnold Palmer.
Okay. What are you doing?
What celebrity would have the Arnold Palmer that's the vomit decoy orange and the diarrhea decoy lime?
Oh, it's the Cameron Diaz's sister.
I truly can't rank them anymore. That orange one was just so revolting just now. It might shoot to the bottom.
Whoa.
I think I might put the lemon, then the lime with some distance, and then the orange, I guess. None of these are advisable. No. I can't. Ranking them seems borderline pointless. Someone even asked the question of, is this a malt beverage, because we've been talking about them a lot on the show.
I was going to say, if you told me this was a malt beverage, I would believe you.
Right, because it seems like someone has fucked around really hard.
And we're finding out.
That is accurate.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't appreciate this prank. and lowest marks possible. I don't believe this is a malt beverage. To answer the question, we have a listener who's in beverage compliance and who sends over some details on exactly what makes a malt beverage. It has to be made with malted grain. So this is just wine and seltzer. So I think it is not, but it tastes like shit.
Tomorrow will be comparable.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a Zima headache tomorrow for one and all.
This feels to me like, so we have a pool, and like pool party season is about to begin. You guys are more than welcome. But because most of our friends are like from the comedy world, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it still does happen, where like at least one person will bring like a comedy beverage, you know, like back in the day it was like Four Loko or Smirnoff Ice or, you know, something like that, just to be like hilarious. And, you know, and then one person, not the person who brought it, but one person will try one and be like, oh, that's disgusting. And then the other ones of them hang out in our fridge forever. So we have like a shelf of comedy beverages that are like, I don't want this. Nobody wants this, but it feels bad to throw them away. And we keep putting them in the cooler when people come over and people keep not trying them. Feel like things that will like hang out in our backyard fridge for years to come.
I'm so sorry. Yes. I didn't bring more.
I'm not.
Well, now you know what's coming to your pool party.
Okay.
I mean, my last,
turn right around.
Yeah. My last question on these is, and I know, I can't believe I'm asking this, but are any of these duck friendly? Would you give any of these to Mr. Snackers, JoJo?
Not a million years.
Not in a fucking million years.
Not one is even watermelon flavored. What would you have to do with this thing?
Guys, I just burped it through my nose, and I feel bad.
All right, let's move on, gentlemen, from that nightmare. Let's, Josh, can you... are we going to get smiles on our face from a Bev moment of the week? What's the Bev moment of the week?
Now we're talking. Let's get into a beverage moment of the week.
I would love that.
Are you going to share the...
I'm going to try. Hold on here.
Okay. This is from an article posted this morning in Odd News. A Welshman drinks at 56 pubs in 24 hours for the Guinness World Record.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's
a dedicated drinker in Wales. You did not need.
What's 56 divided by 24?
He's like a barrister there or something.
29.
Almost 2 an hour.
Wow. Yep. 2.3 repeat.
Oh. This is interesting.
Wait a minute.
The rules required Murphy to have a drink at each pub, but they were not required to be alcoholic.
Oh, this is bullshit. Trash. Who cares then?
Some beer during his attempt, but he also had orange juice, apple juice, Coca-Cola, lemonade, Diet Pepsi, and cranberry. Diet Pepsi.
This feels honestly.
Wait a minute.
Don't these feel more affecting than the beer? Like, I just feel throwing an orange juice into that, like lobbing that hand grenade into your stomach at hour 18.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, Josh, but I'm also so disappointed with this. Like, if I was at one of these pubs and the guy came in and has the little entourage and the Guinness people, and like, oh, what's going on? He's like, oh, going to the 56 pubs or whatever. I'm like, oh, sweet. And he ordered a Coke. I'd be like, it doesn't count, right?
No.
I don't know.
I definitely call foul.
Obviously,
on this.
Put him in danger if he's having to drink alcoholic beverages in each one. But listen, I didn't ask him to do it. It was his idea, it seems like. It wasn't and drafted.
He didn't say he had to finish the drinks either. So, I mean, that's already a loophole, right? Even just the travel around and plotting the course. The Guinness Book of World Records, what a sham. The number of copies of that book I bought over my lifetime and how many book fairs. He called this the hardest thing he's ever done in his life.
That's pretty great. That is, listen, I'm like watching this. I'm like, we could do this, but maybe if it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, maybe we couldn't. Maybe I'm underestimating this. The booze I could, there's no way I could do.
Hey, what's the hardest thing you ever done in your life? I drove around one day.
Yeah, I stayed up all night is also the shorter version of that.
But also, like, pubs aren't open all night, so there's, right? I mean,
oh, good point. Maybe
they are. In the UK, they close at like 10 or 11.
See, that would be the wrinkle I'd want to hear. It's like, well, they stop serving alcohol at 11, but there are some that are open 24 hours. So at those ones, he had to drink something non-alcoholic. Then I'm even more in there for this. But like the fact that the Guinness book is, and they're the Guinness book.
I guess there's probably some.
Is there a relation?
I guess they probably can't make it be alcoholic because, like,
all Guinness related records.
Yeah, well, like there's probably.
I think this opens up a terrific business opportunity for us to be the less responsible Guinness, right? Like, there needs to be a book of world records that could potentially kill you that Guinness would stay away from because of branding. I don't care personally.
We don't mind.
It's like world fucking records. That could be the book.
Yeah,
exactly. World fucking records. Yeah. Keep it in your bathroom, you dick.
Exactly.
That's the cover. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. He says he lost count of the number of bathroom breaks he took. I feel like missed opportunity for a second world record.
Yes.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let that shit slide. I'm just saying.
Jesus.
He'd be a dual record holder.
Amazing.
Mr. Murphy.
Jojo, let's get to our final segment of the night, which is one of our favorite segments. And that segment is called
Brian's Question.
So, Dave, when we started this show, my brother-in-law sent us 100 questions. And since we've rebooted, he sent us 100 more. Jojo, you want to pull that this week's Brian's Question up?
I'd love to.
Ooh, Dave, can you read that? And we'll go from there.
I can. Brian's question number 11, is powdered kombucha really kombucha? I am the wrong person to answer this question. I don't know. I don't know what the definition of kombucha is.
Well, there is a kombucha, like, you know, like my brother's made homemade kombucha, and you get, like, what's the alive thing that grows in it? You know what I'm talking about, guys?
There? Yeah, you call it, like, I mean, it's like the mother and the sourdough.
The mother, yes. The starter and the mother. Here, I'll pull up a little screen here to see if we can figure this out. It seems like we don't know.
Don't show me Gareth Murphy again.
Gareth.
Okay, it's powdered.
The SCOBY. Lizzie Bart is right. It's called the SCOBY.
The SCOBY.
But that is that's the living yeast culture that's eating your sugars. Kombucha powder, I had never heard of. Brian really dug deep for 100 questions round two.
Yeah.
He was taking notes during the kombucha hiatus.
Has a lot less sugar.
This, you know what this feels like to me? Even just looking at this, you want to talk about repackaging and rebrands? Because that feels like kind of the theme for this episode. This is just airborne or emergency packets.
Oh, maybe. It seems like it's not really kombucha because it says powdered kombucha or kombucha powder is a powder made of probiotics and flavorings similar to those in kombucha that provides a convenient, healthy, tasty, environmentally friendly way to get probiotics, prebiotics, and antioxidants.
Without having to haul around expensive and heavy glass bottles.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is Brian like investigating the powdered kombucha business, and this is just his way of doing some research?
Just ask him.
I don't know why.
For him to think that we're an authority for any sort of R&D.
Oh, probably the biggest benefit of powdered kombucha when compared to traditional booch is how easy it is to use in brain places. Traditional booch.
I'm gonna say I don't think it really is. I feel like it's sort of an imposter.
Seems like a designer imposter.
Yeah. The yogis of the world revolt.
Yeah.
Against powdered kombucha.
Do you guys drink kombucha? Real kombucha?
I do, I like it. I enjoy it.
Okay. I need to get on the train. I really haven't dabbled much. I've had maybe a couple sips in my day, but people seem to love it. It's still, it's having some staying power. It's been around. It's sticking around.
Yeah. And now there's hard kombucha. I see that. People will bring that to my pool, a hard kombucha.
That's one that's also sticking around in the fridge. Am I wrong?
It is sticking in the fridge.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But
I don't know. I feel like the people bringing the hard kombucha are finishing the hard kombucha at the party. Like, they're all in on it, I have a feeling. Maybe not.
If they do, it's because it's expensive. Like, you bring a thing of Four Loko and it's like you spend 84 cents on it. But like a 4-pack of hard kombucha, you spent some money. That's an investment.
Yeah. And so you'll just suck those down, force them down, whether you want to or not. Dave, where do you stand on kombucha? Your silence was deafening.
I have had a few in my day. I don't know. It's never really taken.
Okay. Didn't speak to you.
Yeah. Didn't really speak to me. I like the glass bottle, the GT Dave kombucha glass bottle. By the way, that's his name, is GT Dave.
Fuck yeah. Stands for Gran Torino.
The kombucha guy. I don't know what the G and the T stand for, but his last name is actually Dave. Which is weird.
Oh, his last name is Dave. I didn't follow you all the way there.
Dave. Oh, that's kind of rad. Like,
Mr. and Mrs. Dave had a kid and named him GT.
GT. It's the only name left. Well, that feels answered on the powdered kombucha front.
Yeah.
I feel satisfied with that research.
Yeah. I would try it, so but it's like, probably not real kombucha.
Yeah, not really, right?
And what do you really want to get out of it?
Gosh.
I feel like if you had the farts and you really need some probiotics, fine. Have some powdered kombucha or something, you know?
You know, my brother.
I don't know, honestly. This just smells so bad. I just got a waft of it over.
Yeah, we got Fs on the mind because of decoy seltzer.
Amazing. All right, you guys, I think that brings us to the end of this beverage ride. Dave, thank you so much for coming with us on this. And I feel a little bad that we forced you to drink these. But
I feel bad about that too, but we'll fix that the next time.
You know, thank you.
I would love that, but I don't want to have any of these ever again.
Never, ever. Dave, is there anything that you want to plug right now that you got cooking that people should go check out?
I mean, Waiting for Impact, my 10-episode investigative podcast about a boy band that never existed, is all out now. Binge all 10 episodes.
Amazing.
I write for Esquire, but I've been on the Real World Homecoming beat for Decider. In the last couple of months, as that season has unfolded, it has been so good. And if all goes according to plan, in the next few days, I'll be interviewing Tokyo. If you know, you know. So I'm excited about that. Look for that on Decider in the coming days.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Dave. And thanks, everyone that joined us live today. Go check us out at T-Bash Live and hit that link tree that JoJo made. That'll take you anywhere you want to go. And if you're listening on the pod, thank you for listening there. And we'll be back next Wednesday. And last but not least,
go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.